Welcome to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us as we study the Word of God together. Go get your Bible and let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today.
Amen. So we in Luke chapter 6, we're dealing with verse 20 through 23. I preached on 20 and 21. We talked about it before, the humility and the hungry, and the hunger, that you have humility to come to Christ. And that's what you are. Saved saints have humility. If you don't have humility as a saint, then you're probably not saved, because the Bible says he resists the who? Proud. So if you got all this pride in you, and you got all this me about me, and I'm going to tell off somebody, or that kind of disposition about yourself, you might need to check yourself and go back to the scripture says, examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Okay. Pride goes before the what? Fall. We know that Satan was proud, and that's why he got thrown out of heaven. So how much more for us that we need to understand the humility part of being a saint of God? And the first humble thing that we must do as a saint of God is humble ourselves to the condition we in without God. Okay, we must humble ourselves to actually say, how are we without God? We are poor and bankrupt spiritually. We read Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 gives us the Beatitudes, and the attitude is, I am poor in spirit, and there's nothing I can do or you can do that deserves God's love and his grace. So I'm poor in spirit. There's nothing I can do, and I'm willing to admit it. A lot of times, we don't want to admit what's wrong with us out of a false pride of, I don't want to bother nobody. And I get that on a one level. But on another level, if you need the saints to pray for you, the Bible says when you sit, go get them. You go get them. And you ask them, the elders, to pray for you. Because it's a humbling thing to say, you know what, saints of God, I can't do it by myself. I can't do this without you guys. I can't do this without God ordaining me to do this. Now, it could look like it, but if it's truly not ordained by God, it's not going to work. Because God say, unless I build a house, what? What'd he say? It's going to fall. It won't stand. So anything that God takes a humility of us to say, look, God, you have to do it. I can't. I have to rely on your strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. And instead of asking God to be acceptable to me, I need to find out through humility and say, God, I'm not acceptable to you. What can you do to help me? And he gave us the help. Who's the help? Jesus. He gave us Jesus to mend the gap, to redeem us. So God doesn't need to be acceptable to what I think. I need to find out what he provided for me, so for me to be acceptable to the Father. And he provided his own son. So that's the humility part. That's the condition of a heart of a saint. That's not a wish for a saint. That is the condition of a saint. The second condition is humility, to be hungry. It said, blessed are the ones who are what? Hungry. And thirst for what? For righteousness. For they shall be what? Satisfied. So if we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's us hungering and thirsting for what the humility brings on. The humility brings about a hunger. I want you, God. I want more of you, God. I am willing to say I don't have it all together, even though you say I'm saved. Sometimes, Lord, I don't walk like I'm saved. Amen. I need you when I have those thoughts that are not righteous. Lord, give me the hunger for righteousness' sake. Give me that hunger. Put that in my heart, in my mind, that I want to seek out righteousness. And that's a key thing. Okay? So we're going to pick up. Frida, go ahead and read verse 20 through 23. And we're going to pick up at, I think, around 22.
And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. 22.
Keep going.
Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven.
So now with the last one that has something to do with you is, blessed you who what mourn, right? For you shall laugh. Now, when we say that, what goes across your mind when it says, now think about where we come from. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed you are hungry. The poor, the kingdom is yours. The hunger, you're going to be satisfied. And blessed are those who weep, because they're going to find this satisfaction in laughter. So what do you think he's talking about there? Because normally people who mourn don't end up laughing for real. We say that, but let's be real. When I'm mourning, I don't see the other side of laughter coming. You know, I don't see, you know, weeping do it for a night, joy come in the morning. You know, we say that, but you know, that something that is not logical.
Right.
It's just not logical. See, when you go ahead and admit you don't understand some things with God, God will explain it to you. But when you just say stuff off the top of your head, because that's what y'all used to saying, and you know it had no effect on you, because you don't understand where it come from, because you don't understand it in context. So in the context of what we're talking about, what do you think that means? Anybody?
Faith in Jesus.
Blessed are those who mourn, for you shall what? Free to read that again.
Blessed are you who weep now.
Who weep now, okay.
For you shall laugh.
And other verses may say mourn. So blessed are you who weep now, and you shall what?
Laugh.
And you shall laugh. So what do you think that means? What are we what are we weeping over?
Sins.
Okay. Be more specific.
We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be able to be close.
Okay, go in line with what we just read about all the other blessings. What did it say? I mean, you're on the right track, mother.
When you go from what? 20?
When you go from humble to hungry, mm-hmm, to now weeping. So you on the humble side, you get the kingdom. You admit that you're a sinner.
You got to deal with repentance.
Right.
Sorry.
You're weeping for what?
For ourselves.
For your own sin.
Yes.
There you go. So in the progression, you look back and you weep on your own sins because you know what you actually deserved. What is the wages of sin?
Yeah.
Death.
Right.
When we go to Ephesians chapter 2, you see what you deserve, the wrath of God. Okay? Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 5 and 6, till we get to the but God. See, you didn't get what you deserve. You got more than that. You got the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, you go from hopeless to hope. You go from hunger to being satisfied. You go from being poor to receiving the kingdom. And now you look back and you go from weeping being happy. Now, what are you happy about? He saved us. That's simple as that. You are happy because you know that he saves to the uttermost. You have found faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. Just that simple. Not all this other stuff. Now, I'll let you expand it to this. If we have been poor, if we've been hungry, if we have wept and mourned, and we're satisfied, happy, and receiving the kingdom, one of the reasons why we mourn is because we want what? Other people to receive what we have. Mm-hmm. So now we extend it to our brothers and sisters that are not saved. We want them to experience what we know to be true. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we do what go to Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Read that. We talked about that Sunday. So with all of this, we know all of this. We're happy now, and this is what we do. Go ahead, read it.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
So in other words, our disposition is always in a position to forgive. And we have to put it on. And Sister Carolyn, sometimes, you know what? I actually take it off. Yeah. See, when you're honest with God, see, I'm going back to being poor again so I can be happy. You see, I'm going to admit the truth. I'm not going to sit here and play and pretend like I got it all together. I'm going to tell you there are times when I'm not so nice. Now, is it better that I say it, or is it better that I pretend it and people can actually see it in me? See, if I bring it to the saints and bring it to God and ask you to pray for me in areas, and you ask us to pray for you in areas, that strengthens us so now the public don't see what we've covered. And it's not a deception. It's we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us into this. A lot of times, some of your deliverance is on your lips of admitting you need to be delivered. Your next move of God in your life is on your admission that you, in some areas, you're still poor, you're still hungry, and you're still weeping. But God promises if you're poor in the spirit, you got the kingdom coming. That's his end. He arranged that for you. You didn't arrange it for yourself. All you got to do is admit that you're poor. Admit that you're hungry. He going to satisfy you. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is eat. Because he prepared the table before your what? Your enemies. Okay? He's anointed your head with oil. So this God that we serve is different than most religions, because most religions require you to do something to please God. And what God has done is did something to please himself through his son. And what you need to do is have faith in it. And it's the faith and the love of what he did and appreciation of what he did which changes our behavior so we can put on these things that we read. Read that again. Beloved what? Read that again.
Compassionate hearts.
Kindness.
Humility.
See?
Meekness. And patience.
Okay? And with that, all that's wrapped up in dealing with each other, carrying each other's cross, and be willing to forgive each other. Now, he's not talking about outside the body of Christ. He's talking about inside the body. And that's what hurts me the most. That's one thing I weep over is like, why is the body so wordy, but they don't get it when it comes to each other? We know the words to say. We repeat the chants. But do you demonstrate this when you're not in church? Do you demonstrate the kindness, the patience, not only towards the saints, but towards the people that you run into? The Bible says they will know that you are my disciples by the way we love each other. And if the people don't see we love each other, why would they want to become part of the body of Christ? I would. I wanted to become part of the body of Christ because I met a young man named Nick and some brothers that I saw were straight up hardcore criminals, and they had changed their whole life. And I saw how they loved each other in a Christian way. How if one had, all had. Nobody lacked. If one, you know, and it was in the place I was at, it was in a simple place. If one didn't have shower shoes, somebody else had an extra pair. See, simple stuff. If one didn't get his commissary yet, you share the commissary. We had a store for brothers who first get there where they can't get nothing for about a week or two. We had a store to whereas we would have everything they need. So, commissary, whatever you need, bro, go talk to Deacon so-and-so. In his locker, he got everything for you. Once we realized that you was a brother. You didn't have to prove anything yet. You didn't have to do nothing. Just say you was a brother. We give it to you with no expectation of return. And when I saw that, I say, man, I'd be good. I know church on the outside like that. Uh-huh. No, It disappointed me. It hurt my feelings. And to actually say, this is what I would say. Other than us, I'm still looking for one. A church that really cares about each other. Not trying to posture, not trying to position, not trying to manipulate. Just truly care for each other, and it makes no difference how much money we have. We trying to do ministry. We trying to show people Christ. That's all I want is souls to be saved. But some of my counterparts spend a lot of times not being kind, not being patient, being manipulative. And the church is not called to be that. We're supposed to put on this thing called kindness. Okay. We're supposed to put on this thing called kindness. So, those are our conditions. Okay, go back to Luke and go to verse... go back to Luke and go to verse 22. Start at 22.
Blessed are you when people hate you, mm-hmm. and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man.
Now think about this. It went from who you are to now how they look at you. And that's how you blessed. So with you being humble, with you being hungry for the righteousness, with you being weeping over sin, the world looks at you, and what do? They revile you. You got the best thing for them, and you're willing to share it with them, and they don't want to receive you. So he says, blessed is not that they like you, that they hate you. And Jesus said, they hated me. And as we see it in Luke, as the narratives continue, they already start to hate Jesus. And all he did was do good to them. He did miracles to prove who he was. He read a scripture when he started Isaiah 61 and 1 of his validation and authorization of what his ministry is going to be, to help the afflicted, to heal the lame, to give sight to the blind. But again, non-humble people never think it's them. It's always not us. It's them over there. But then when he read a passage where God said, because my people weren't humble, I went to the Gentiles and I healed. I gave a widow at Zarephath a baby, and I gave a leper his skin back, his condition. You know, I made his condition well, and all of them were Gentiles. I didn't stay in the nation of Israel. God is not, he's the God of all people. He was trying to use Israel to be the light for the rest of the world. But Israel became darkened by the world. And what we supposed to learn in church is we are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we should be changing because we're kind, patient, loving people. But we still need to grow. You can never grow too much in kindness. You can never grow too much in humility. And the day you think you got it is the day you lost it. If you say to yourself, I'm humble. I know I'm humble. You just lost it right then and there. You should let other people say that about you. And then you should be humble enough to not even feed into it, because you know you one second away from something going wrong and you clicking. If God don't sustain you. But think about this. Because you are a child of God, they're going to hate you. Because you hunger after righteousness, they're going to hate you. Because you're being satisfied, they're going to hate you. Now, doesn't make sense, does it? No. Now, if I had all the money in the world, they wouldn't hate us. But because we have spiritual blessings that's stored up in heavenly places, that are these things that we read. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to show you something. Start at verse 3.
Mm-hmm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing
in the heavenly places. See, there you go. All of us in Christ, we are satisfied, blessed, and all that. He said, blessed. And where's our blessings at? In heavenly places. And guess where the heavenly place is? Inside of Christ Jesus. Who lives in you? The Holy Spirit, who he sent back to represent him. So you got everything you need. And I know y'all keep hearing me say that, but till I start really, till I know that you understand, I got to preach the same thing, because that's what powers you. You got to believe you got the keys to heaven. He just told you, when you humble, you got the kingdom. So you got to start believing that and walking in what God has already given you. Some of you just need to pray, God, show me how to access these spiritual blessings, the peace, the love, the joy, the patience, the meekness, the kindness, to be willing to carry other people's cross, to be willing to be the willing to be humble. Teach me through the word of God how to be that. And the word of God will, because the word of God is his spirit. It will teach you what you need to know to be successful and faithful as you walk out your life. I can't promise you that you're going to be rich financially. I can't promise you that you're not going to go through some stuff. Matter of fact, I guarantee, because you are a child of God, we just read, they're going to hate you. So what their job is? Their job is to continue to hate you, to show you that you're a child of God. So the badge of honor that you wear is people don't like you. People don't understand you. They don't want to understand you. They want to steal your joy because of who you are positionally in God. The devil wants you to doubt that you are not who he says you are, that God says you are, by saying, well, you don't have this, you don't have that. And it's all material. Never base your relationship with God on anything material. What is your character like? What are you faithful to? You know, and we have to be honest. In any given situation, any given church, you have people who are disciples, which we're going to see. You're going to have people who are, they're just kind of a mixed multitude. They really just there to see what's going on, but they really don't participate in nothing for real. They don't participate in the fullness of the fellowship. They have caveats they want to participate in. Well, I don't want to do this, but I'll do this. And I don't want to do that, and I'll do that. Okay. But you want the fullness of God, but you don't want the fullness of the fellowship. Oh, I'll come when the preaching going on, but I won't come before the preaching. Huh? I don't need all that. Well, you don't need the fellowship. Because praising God is one of the biggest part of the fellowship. Praying to God is part of the fellowship. How can you say that you got patience, peace, and for the brothers and sisters in Christ, and you carry out a time that you don't even want to be with them? How that work? Does that sound like humility? Or does that sound like pride? I don't want to do that. Oh, okay. But all your brothers and sisters are doing it. Sometimes you just need to swap. Well, no, you don't. You need to be who you are. There's no sense you trying to lie to me. Because I already know. I'd have been to this long enough now. He just showed me everybody in his place. And I don't say nothing because I'm praying for you. Wherever you short, I'm praying for you. Wherever God shows me you short, I'm praying for you. And God don't show me everything about you. But there are some things that's evident. And instead of me lashing, other than when I'm dealing with the men, instead of lashing, it's like I got to pray because you guys are the pillars. You guys are the pillars. You're going to tell me there's a time you don't want to be around your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you want to be around all these strangers out here. It don't work like that. He said, he'll know that you are my disciples by the way you love each other. So if you ain't got the patience enough to come to love each other in the time that we spend, do you understand what service is really about? Service is about us loving on each other and showing God we love him. That's it. Now, if you get a lesson out of it, if you get a word out of it, but the biggest part of the reason why I say don't forsake the assemblies of the saints. And what that means is you care enough about the saints to want to be here. And sometimes it's inconvenient. But if I started at noon, there'd be people show up late. Because they don't love the saints enough. To say, you know what? If my brothers and sisters can do this, I can too. And I love them enough. Because guess what? I may have something that they need that if I get there later, much later, I might not be able to give it to them. Or they may have something I need. But love means that you know, again, we know how it is. There's some people faithful to some stuff. If I took it away from them, they probably start crying. Not only do they show up early, they show up 2 days before the event. Because, and I'm being facetious, I'm just saying we have to look at things in a way that make us stand out and make God's people say, you know what? We're a unit because we all have wept. We all have been hungry. We all have been humbled by God. Because God say, if he resists the proud, he what? Exalts the humble. But if your pride is evident, that's what a lot of people are having problems in their life because they're pride. Talk to me.
True.
Yeah. You're so prideful that God, you don't, there's no room for God. You're not, see, if you're prideful, you're not hungry. Because you're feeding on yourself. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. That's basically a narcissist. A narcissist doesn't need people, but they need people to acknowledge them. A humble person needs God. And if he follows, he or she follows God, God say he will exalt you. That's why he'll say, for the humble saint, your gift will make room for you. You don't have to, whatever your gift is, it's supposed to be exhibited in the body, whatever it is, it will make room for you if you're humble. Because you're hungry still. You want to help the saints, whoever they are, whatever church they belong to. Once you recognize they're a saint, you will reach out to help them. Now, are you supposed to be a whipping mat and let people get over on you? No. But realize there are going to be some people out there who dislike you and you don't understand why. In the natural, you don't understand why. You've been very nice to them. You've been very caring to them. We family members that don't understand you. And they don't have no good reason. But God just said, they revile you for my sake. Okay? And in the rest of 23 tells us that they did it to the prophets of God. Not only did they did it to you, they did it to God, Jesus, and they did it to the prophets of God. Jesus stood up one time, and we're going to get to that point where he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed all my prophets. How I wanted to gather you up like a mother hen. Okay? God always wanted to gather Israel. Now God is gathering a group of people called the body of Christ in him. And the relationship is based on faith, not on works. And what Jesus was trying to do was give them this new wine, explaining them how this is going to work. The blessing is not going to come from being on top. The blessing is going to come from being on the bottom. And because you're on the bottom, people are going to hate you because they have this notion that being on top means all the material things and not a spiritual peace that you can have. If there's one thing that people should see in you, even if you're not fully bought into everything else, is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Not in lip, but in deed and action. You know, we like I said, we can all repeat the word, the mantra, you know. But do you really live like you blessed? And I'm talking about character. Or is there somebody I can go to and they tell me how you have impacted their life and showed them the love of Christ? Or do you do stuff so people can say that you did it for them? And you actually do stuff so they owe you. You don't do it out of a pure heart. You setting up bank accounts. So when you ready to call on them, you be like, remember when I did this for you? Remember I did that for you? That's not Christian giving. That's the world, and that's prideful. All right? Let's pick up at 23. Let's pick up 24. Go ahead.
But woe to you who are rich.
Now, he opposite. You blessed if you poor, and blessed means the most highly favored. There's only two kind of people in the world. Blessed people, and woe means cursed. Some of your Bibles might say cursed. Woe means cursed. Okay? Woe means the lowest of low. You so low you could stand under the belly of a snail. That's low. Okay? You so low, a worm look like a giant. Okay? That's how low this woe is. So woe for those who are rich. So we got four blessings that are counterintuitive to what we think naturally, but they're spiritual. We know that. We got four woes. Go ahead. Woe to those who are rich, what?
for you have received your consolation.
So in other words, you what's the phrase out now? You lived your best life ever, right? You done all. See, God said, okay, you got yours now. You got it. You receive what you go get. But the only problem with what you gonna get, you can't take into eternity. You got it. You banked on what's happening now. You receive whatever now. That which you receive, you can't buy a drop of salvation with. Okay? That's why that 30, Proverbs 30 and 7 tells us, go back, go read that, 30 and 7. But it tells us, man asks for two things. Keep them liars away from me and let me not be a liar, but then give me neither give me riches nor poverty. And he gives the reasons why. Read that.
Two things I ask of you.
Mm-hmm.
Deny them not to me before I die.
Okay.
Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God.
So there's neither benefit to being poor, there's no benefit to being rich. The benefit, if you're poor, you might decide to do something you ain't supposed to do. If you're rich, you'll forget God. So back to Luke, he said, okay, woe to you rich, because you got what you wanted, but you don't want God. Now, to unequivocally across the board say rich people are not going to heaven, I didn't say that. But the Bible is clear that the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's some good rich saints, okay? And they understand how to give, and they are some of the most giving saints in the world. And I know a couple of them. All they want to do is give. They don't know why God blessed them with all this money. But they figured it out. I need to give it away. And they give to good things. They don't just give their money away. They give their money to good things. And when they see ministries doing good and doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's nothing you can't ask from them. Okay? So being rich in itself, but if you're rich, you got a responsibility that you wouldn't have if you was poor. But if you're poor, you got a responsibility. If you're poor, you still got to see God. If you're rich, you still got to see God. You can't be like the man with the bigger barns and say, okay, I'm so rich that instead of helping the poor, I'm going to build me some more barns to hold more stuff. And then God says, you fool, your soul is required of you. There's a lot of people that's out here living that's not really rich, but they live in the world so much and they're living their best life now so hard that they don't understand they are woe and foolish. Because one day their soul is going to be required of them. And they're going to know. See, it's not like you go to hell and don't know. Or go to heaven and don't know that you could have went to hell. You're going to know. Lazarus said, go back and tell my brothers about this hell. And the prophet says, there's a chasm. It don't work like that. You don't get to go back. I don't get to go back. If they don't receive the prophets and the preachers that were given to them, why would they believe a ghost? Okay. So all y'all talking to these people that done went on, be careful. You might be talking to a demon. Talk to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. So blessed are so woe all the poor. We know why that is, because they tend to forget God. They tend not to appreciate God. They tend not to care for the cross. Because what they got riches is they got riches before they got saved. So what they saying is, why do I need salvation when God is already blessing me? But the devil can give you stuff. He offered it to Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry.
So now he's saying, woe to you, a fool now. You shall be hungry. So based upon what we read, what's the fool now and hungry later? What's that? Because he said, you shall be hungry. So what are they talking about? It's just reversed. Mm-hmm. They're talking about being full naturally, a glutton. Mm-hmm. And you lack spiritual fullness. So those who are full now, those who are rich now, you're going to be hungry. You're going to wish that you would have focused on being hungry. Humble and poor in spirit and hungry for God. But you full of everything else. You full of this world. You full of the things the world has. You full of your position at work. You full of your name. You full of the family you came from. You full of the town you grew up in. You full of the high school you went to. You full of all the achievements that you have. And you full of all the people's praise. And he said, when the day come and you die, you're going to wish that you was hungry. You're going to wish you chased after God. You're going to wish you were humble enough. You're going to wish you bowed your knee. But right now, you fool, you live your best life now. Great. Keep living it. Okay. If you close your eyes, you already know Joel Osteen, that's what he preaches. That's all he preaches. Best life now. You are great. You are awesome. You are this. You are that. You everything you want to be. No humility. No hunger for God. He even said, you can pull it up. He said, 99% of the people in the world are good people. Where does it say that in Scripture? Where does it say that in Scripture? It sounds good because it sounds good to the flesh. That ain't what the Bible say. The Bible said man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Where we get this man is born good. When we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Where you get that from? But look, put this way. Everybody loves him. He's loved by everybody. 70,000, 80,000, he gets more likes than anybody out there preaching. But those preaching the word of God for real, that don't tell you all that stuff, you don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Because that doesn't feed my flesh. That doesn't make, I want to get full on Joel. Because he's a man of God, right? Why is he man of God? Because everybody following him. That ain't how you measure a man of God. You measure by what we saw. You measure God, man, and woman of God by being hated for God's sake, right? Yeah. So, of course, see, that's what I'm saying. It's here before you, but you don't want to accept it because you're still so much in the world. He got to have it going on. He got to. He packs it out every week. Well, don't you think the devil wants people to be packed out every week in a church that never talks about sin at all? At all? I mean, there's a whole bunch. And those are the ones who get all the money. Man, you should see some of these reports, these IRS reports from some of these churches, these false churches, and these people, and they love it. Oh, my God, they breaking in the money big time. They people paying big money to sit up in the church to be told what they want to hear. And you know what? I'm not even tripping off him. He running the game on them, right? So don't hate the player. I ain't mad at him because he's only getting away with what he can get away with. He gonna get judged for it. But the problem is, what about those who are following? They gonna get judged for it. They not gonna be able to say, well, you know, we thought he was your, because what are you gonna say to God when he's ready to judge you on his word and what Jesus Christ done, and you've never ever repented for your sins? That means you never met the true Jesus. You just assume he forgives you without any contriteness. Where is that at? He never preaches that. You know, go to, let's prove we'll see what God looked for. Go to Isaiah 66, I think it's 66 and what, 2? Or 661? Let's see what God looked for.
Isaiah 66.
It might be one.
One that says, the Lord heaven is my throne and the earth.
Nah, what's two?
All these things.
There you go.
Isaiah 66:2. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord.
Now look at what the Lord is saying. Look around y'all right now. Look at everything around here. God has helped make everything in this room. God has made everything out there. God has made the whole earth and the fullness thereof. He said, all these things I made with my hands. And that's an accomplishment, isn't it? That's awesome. The sun, the moon, the stars, God has made all these things. But then he says what?
But this is the one to whom I will look.
This is the one he's looking for. Go ahead.
He who is humble and contrite in spirit. And trembles at my word.
He who is humble, there we go back to being humble, and contrite, that means a remorse in spirit. That goes back to what we read in Luke. One who hungers, contrite. See, to hunger after God, you have to have a contrite spirit. You have to have a broken spirit. Broken spirit, how? Broken, not in stuff that happened to you. I ain't talking about that one, okay? I'm talking about brokenness that you realize that you were a sinner and you deserve to die. And God loved you so much beyond any kind of love. The Bible even tells us one might die for a friend, but one might dare to die. But while we were still yet sinners, God commended his son to die for us. Okay, us sinners. Paul even says, the gospel is simple. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Paul even says, even simpler. He said, I preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dying for sinners. Contriteness in the fact that we had a God that loves us enough. It humbles us. That's how you end up walking, doing the right thing now. Remember I said Sunday? Love should have brought you home last night. Love should have brought you to Christ. The law ain't gonna bring you to Christ. The stuff I talked about between the saints is love. Me saying, you do this, you do that, you need to do this. That's not gonna, matter of fact, I've watched when I say do, the rebellion in some of you are so strong that no matter what I say do, and it could be right, you're gonna rebel against it because you hate laws, you hate rules. You don't like to be told what to do. And that's human nature. But when you love, you sacrifice everything. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. He loved who shouldn't have been loved to show us love and give us an example how to love. And what makes us do right is love, not law. I don't need a law. That's why Paul said nothing can condemn me. You can't condemn me because I'm not under law. I'm under love, which is a higher standard than law. Because love says, I understand who loved me first so much that you know what? It's not even profitable for me to do what you want me to do. Because that's not going to uplift my God. I don't want, you know, it's bad enough that I still sometimes do what I don't want to do, like Paul said, and what I want to do, I don't do in Romans. But that's bad enough. But when I purposely do not seek God, I fall into these woes. Okay. All right, go back. 6. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the next verse? What's the next verse you want?
The 25B.
Okay, 25B. Start 25 again.
Woe to you who are full now, mm-hmm. for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets.
So to the real prophets, they killed them. Yeah. To the false prophets, they speak well of you. Just use those. Use the word standards to look at everybody that's preaching now on TV. Especially the mega churches. And if you're paying attention to what's going on, all of them are falling. Mm-hmm. All of them are falling. Slowly but surely, all of them getting caught up in scandal. Mm-hmm. Matt Chandler's the latest one. In his mega church, okay? They head up the ladder. Yeah, you go YouTube, you can find all of them. A host of them. And I'm talking about 8,000, 9,000 people and more, just gone. Hillsong, done. The fastest growing church in the world, done. Why? Because you can't mix and have all this financial and influential a worldly stuff going on and expect it not to hurt you spiritually. You can't live on both sides of the fence. And it's hard because what the devil does is make you think that because you got this thing going on, you're growing fast, you got everybody loving you, that's God. And his job is to trick you and to get you to believe that. But the Bible just told us what? Woe to what? Would everybody love you? And see, when everybody love you, we're not talking about when everybody hates you. But we're not talking about that superficial stuff like they don't like you because you loud mouth at your job or something. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about when they hate you for what you preach, what you teach, what you stand for. That you would think that they would love you because you're trying to love on them, but they hate you for it because it doesn't fit what they really want. They want to be told. I was talking to one of my students, and they were talking about They gave a prophecy to this person based on scripture. And then the prophet told the lady, you're in a dark place right now. You need to get saved. True statement, okay? You know what the lady said? I don't want to hear from you no more. I want to go to somebody else to tell me what I want to hear. Well, she said, you don't want a prophet. You just want to be told what you want to be told. And that's true. Nobody wants to be told they messed up. Nobody wants to be told they need to humble themselves. Nobody wants to be told that they're, you don't never want to be told that you're weak in spirit when you think that you just the holy roller, you know. But inside the church, we all need to check ourselves. We are not as good as we think we are, and we're not as bad as we think we are, but we all still need to grow. But then, like I say, you'll see by the actions and how other people receive you if you're growing or not. Again, you can't say you loving God out there and you treating the people inside the body of your own body bad with disrespect. It don't work like that. I don't care what you think you're doing. You know, the Bible just gave us guidelines for saved folk, and now we got the guidelines what we see in unsaved folk. Okay? That's what we have. Go ahead, read.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back.
Now, we know everything he just said is impossible.
Yep. Right.
Without Christ. Without Christ, what he just said don't even make sense. You ain't going to smack me, I'm going to turn around and say, smack me on the other side. And you ain't going to take from me, and I'm going to give you another coat to wear. Okay? But see, this is the deal. This is the deal. That is impossible. That is impossible. Thank God that you don't have to do this. You got to remember, I wanted to take you back. Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to in particular? The nation of Israel, who's under law. He said, do these things. And all of them are impossible. But he's gonna let down the line, die, and do all these things for you. And all you got to believe is that he done them. And because you walk in him, you better do these now because you got the Holy Spirit in you. They couldn't do this. This was impossible. It was impossible to be humble. It was impossible to be hungry because they were in a system that was so detrimental that even the Sabbath day became such a laborious thing. They couldn't enjoy themselves. They couldn't even rest in God. They were always trying to prove to God that they were something that God already knew they weren't. So for you to walk in this, you need to be on the other side of the cross. You couldn't do this before the cross. This is impossible. This don't make sense. Yes, it's God says do it. And he's going to say later, those who do what I tell them to do is blessed. They're like they're going to say he's going to give the what they're like a parable. But see, for us, we do it in Christ Jesus because what we do is trust that he did all of this. And therefore, if he done it, we can walk in it. But before he died and did all of this, think about it. They struck him on the face. Did he do anything? No. They stripped him down and took his clothes. Did he ask for more clothes back? No. He wanted to give them the living water. Did they drink it?
No.
Didn't the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians become his enemy? And he still tried to give them the word of God? Did he not die for their sake and the whole world and the sin of the whole world? So Jesus is giving them something to reflect on it, to get them to the point that it humbles them. Well, I can't do this. I don't even want to start this. Yeah, I can say it, but I can't do it. And that's what he want to get you to try to do, church. He wants you to understand. As much as you read this, humble yourself to it and say, Lord, unless you do it, I can't do it. Unless you do it in me, it ain't going to be done. Now, your part is to submit what's being done to you. And what's being done to you so you can see this in the spiritual realm, it's called sanctification. You're being conformed to his image. So you're being conformed into seeing how this works out in your life every day. All right. Go ahead, read. We're almost done.
31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
So as you, now you've heard it the other way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This says, do to others what you want done to you. The positive side of it. Not the reverse negative side. I was talking to somebody about leadership, and I was saying, somebody come to you and say, now watch this. I'm going to show you something so that you won't fail. Or I can say, I'm going to show you something that you will succeed. Which one sounds better to you?
I'm going to show you something that you succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to show you something that you will succeed at. I can't worry about this. So I'm going to show you something that you will succeed at. But supposedly, get that phone out. That's fine. Supposedly, they're saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. They're saying, look, do what you want to be done to you. And that will eliminate you not doing something you won't want done to yourself. Right. If you do what you would accept, if you will always do what you would accept towards other people, that's a humbling thing. But if you are always trying to not do, you see, it don't make sense. All right, read.
If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
See, sinners love people who love them. So now how can I love somebody who don't love me? It's impossible without Christ. It's impossible without the cross. Because the cross is the demonstration of ultimate love, that he was willing to give his life for us. So see, he's giving them some impossible tasks, but he's giving them what's good. They were supposed, you know what they were supposed to say? Lord, I can't do this. They were supposed to come to the conclusion they can't do this. Okay, without Christ, I don't care what you tell me, you can't do this. All right? Even in Christ, it's gonna be a moment.
Yeah.
It's still gonna be a challenge. Because you're warring with your flesh every day. All right? Go ahead.
And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you?
So in other words, you might do good to somebody and benefit them, but in God's economy, that's easy. That's not hard. That's not loving your enemy. That's doing good to only your friends and family members. You know, you only do good to people who like you. All right, go ahead.
For even sinners do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you?
See, now y'all know that's hard. I ain't going to give you no money. You ain't going to get back to me. Come on. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. We know that's hard. Mm-hmm. Pastor, give me $200. When you going to pay it back? Now, again, give me $20. Okay, I ain't going to miss that. But the Bible, it's like, this is some standards that you look at them like, man, what you mean? Don't expect nothing back. Okay? If people be lying, I do it all the time. No, you don't. You don't do it like that. You know. You got 500. Shoot, you. Hold on. Never mind. Go ahead.
Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil.
So he's saying he reigned on just and unjust alike. He's kind to the grateful and the ungrateful. My God, what kind of God are you? A God that's no respecter of person.
Amen.
And thank God he's not like that. But what God is saying is to become the sons of God, we have to be willing to help everybody and anybody. But Lord, I can't do this in my natural flesh. I can't do this with the stuff that goes on in my head. I can't do that stuff. I'm looking at Carolyn and I think she got an attitude with me, so I'm going to have an attitude with her. I can't do that with y'all. The only way we can do this is be in Christ Jesus. And this is stuff he's giving them now, trying to prepare them for what's to come. Because again, this can't be done by law. This is not going to be done just because he said so. Okay? He's setting a blueprint of humbling yourself. All right? So we'll stop right there for today. And again, I want to get across to you. Humble, hungry, weeping. That's how we should be all the time. We're still weeping for ourselves and the sin that's in us. Still hungry for God. Still willing to be humble ourselves. And guess what? Be willing to be humiliated for the sake of God. Be willing to be talked about. Don't worry about when they talk about you. Don't worry about when they bring up your name and they lying on you. Let them lie. God said they did it to me. They're going to do it to you. And they did it to the prophets. So you are a child of God when this has happened. Don't seek for man's approval. Seek for God's approval. And everything will work out to your good and for his glory. You know, as children of God, seek God's approval. And I guarantee you, your brothers and sisters will see it and appreciate it. But the world may not. And it's okay. You still be the light God has called you to be in this dying, evil world that's getting worse. It's not going to get better. Nope. Some of us are old enough to say, we glad that we living in the time we living, because this younger generation going to have it. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah. It's going to be something for them. But you know what? They are born in that time, yeah, and they're going to be all right. Those who are saved. Journey and Ferris. It's going to be okay. And Kiko, is it Kiko? Kiko going to be okay. But it's our job to train them up and get them ready. Because we have an idea what's going to go, they're going to go through, but we got to prepare them with the eternal word of God to handle the temporal things that's going to come during their time. Humility, hunger, weeping. Inside out first. Inside out first. Examine yourself first. And then you go from there. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. Continue to bless this word. But we pray that somebody who heard something that will make them think about being hungry, think about them being humble, and think about them weeping, Lord. Let us begin to care for those who are in the body of Christ like we should. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit and us submitting to it, Lord, that we can carry out these missions. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.